morning. How are we today? Oh, no one's. We're a bit sleepy already. I mean, it started a little sleepy. How are we today? Well, that's much better. Good to see you this morning. If you are new and joining us for the first time this morning, a very special welcome. This is a special service for us, being the first service in this building. So we are very excited to be here and be a part of it. As a result, there's a few teething issues we're going through. We will do, no doubt, the next few weeks or so. But bear with us. We're going to enjoy it. We're still going to worship God despite it, because we can, and because He wants not necessarily our professionalism, although we give Him the best we can. What He wants is our hearts, and that's what we bring for Him today. It's also exciting. This is kind of 28 years in the making, to my understanding. I and my wife have only been here for the last 2 years, just about, our little baby daughter even less. And we feel very blessed to be here at this time, because this really is a new season for us at Broome Baptist Church. Not only do we have a new facility, or have our own facility, for the first time, which to worship God in, what that provides for us now is a means to be able to serve Him in a far greater capacity than we once were able to before. And as I said, I think this is an exciting time, because this really is a new season for us here at Broome Baptist Church. Just making sure my thing's on, it is. So if you've got your Bibles with you, if you want to turn with me to Joshua chapter 4, we'll get into that in a minute, but that'll give you some time to get there, to chapter 4 of Joshua. And as a result, because it's a special service, we are going to have a special commissioning service at some time where we will really dedicate this place to God. We're going to do that in quite some time to come. The reason for that is, as leaders, we're just looking at that in the future and what that might entail. And so one of the things we would like to do is invite a lot of people who have been involved in the church over many years, some ex-pastors and things like that, many of whom have been very instrumental in helping the church look for a building, who we know would be excited to come if they can make it. So we want to give them that opportunity. So that will come in some time. But I think the timing of us moving in here is exquisite. The reason is, not many of you will be aware, but I actually asked about 12 months ago my leaders to actually look at our mission, or our vision statement of the church. Have a look at it, have a pray over it, because we were going to then sit down after a few months and just really kind of try and refine it. Get ourselves on the same page so that we know this is what God wants us to be about. And then be able to bring that to you. And one of the reasons for that is, was being a new pastor myself, I wanted to get onto the page of what you guys are about and what I'm bringing to the church, what I believe God is calling me to be about. And in those meetings I found, well, this is exciting. God really does have us on the same path, which is always a good sign. And we're actually going to spend our time looking at that today and next week. You'll find, if you've got your bulletins, you'll have a little flyer in there that looks like this. If you want to open that up and get that out now, that is the vision statement. And I say the timing is exquisite, because what a better time than now, with this new building, this new season, than to go through this, to step through as the leaders we have, in a sense, refined, to say, look, this is what we believe God is calling us to be about. Now, what you will find is, straight off the bat, you'll probably say, well, these should be no-brainers. I mean, isn't this what every church is meant to be about? The reality is, yes, but we've worded it in our particular way. And there's also particularities that will suit us in terms of the context we find ourselves in here in Broome. So let me read that for you. The vision statement. The vision statement is to be standing stones within our multicultural community of Broome and beyond. The mission statement is growing people in their relationship with Jesus Christ. The values we hold are prayer, commitment to the truth of Scripture, intentional discipleship, compassionate, nurturing, meeting the needs of families and the wider community, contemporary evangelical, there it is, in worship. Now, straight off the bat, if you've been with us for a while, you'll notice that this really isn't a great deal different to what it was before. I think that's actually a good sign. It means, as a church, we've been on the right path before. But we have kind of taken what was rather large vision statement that we separated into those three different categories there. There is a reason for that. Apart from it being easier to remember and grasp in those three different bits, I hope and I believe it will be, one of the reasons for that is the different functions of those. So if you have a look at the vision is really what we want to be about, what we believe God is calling us to. This is what we feel God has us here for, and so we're striving towards this. You could say the vision is the big picture of the church. The mission statement is how we get there. It's the path or the road that we're taking to get to our vision. So for us, it's growing people in relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we've got the values there, and the values are really those pillars, those important things that are, for us, uncompromising. That of which enables us to walk that path to reach that big picture, walk that mission statement to reach that vision. Now we'll go through the values next week. We're not going to get through them today. We'll spend some time on them next week. There might be some you'll say, oh, what about this, what about that? Again, we'll look at that next week. I think you'll find pretty much everything we hold dear will fit within those values. And it doesn't mean we don't value anything else. It's just these are the key ones that we feel as a church. This is what we're going to commit ourselves to, and it's going to be useful, or rather integral to us reaching our vision through our mission statement. So what we're going to do is step through the vision statement and mission statement today and really have a look at that. So if you are new with us, apologies if this seems unrelated to you, although, like I said at the start, I do feel in many senses what we're going to look at today really is the mission and the vision of every church. And again, some churches will have almost the identical thing, just worded differently. I hope we'll be of some value to you today. Let's look at that vision statement to start off with. The vision statement: to be standing stones within our multicultural community of Broome and beyond. Now, I want to break that up into three sections for us so we can understand that, grasp that, and realise what it actually means. And we'll start with the obvious, and that's the first bit: to be standing stones. Now, when I first came here in 2016, one of the first questions I asked the leaders was, what is it meant? What is your understanding of the terms standing stones? Because my thought was, coming here to Broome, there's some great kind of geological features around here. You go to Entrance Point, there's some wonderful stone and rock structures out there that even many people, and some people in this congregation today, get married by it, and that kind of delightful and pretty and good place to do that. You go around the suburbs, and even just here around the new suburb we find ourselves in, too many houses have large stones in the garden to make it look pretty, make it decorate. And some people use them to have their house numbers on there, which is very convenient because there's no letterboxes here in Broome, so finding someone's address can be a real pain at times, can't it? So if they've got this massive stone with a number on there, it's a lot easier to find. I thought maybe that was what it's about. We want to be like those stones, you know, unique to Broome and something that stands out. But I was told and directed to Joshua chapter 4, which is why I have you there at the moment. And the idea of standing stones actually comes from Joshua chapter 4. So let's have a look at this for a minute. Give us a bit of background. Chapter 3 is quite an amazing chapter. We see God quite miraculously bring the Israelites from across the Jordan into the Promised Land. And the Jordan is at flood at this stage. It is raging. And what he does is he basically stops the waters of the Jordan, and the Israelites cross through on dry land under the guidance of Joshua. Now we get to chapter 4. Let's look at verse 1 through to verse 7 for a minute. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take up for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.' So Joshua called the 12 men who had appointed from the sons of Israel, one from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, that when your children ask later, saying, "What do these stones mean to you?" then you shall say to them, "Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Let's jump ahead to verse 19. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal, the eastern edge of Jericho. Those 12 stones which they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. He said to the sons of Israel, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall inform your children, saying, 'Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed, that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever.'" So the idea of standing stones comes from here. As I've mentioned, Israel has crossed into the promised land in quite a miraculous way. Very, very cool if you want to read about that in chapter 3 in your own time. The result is they go and grab these 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. The idea to stand and signify what God had done for them and who God was. And that's where the idea of standing stones comes from. Much like these 12 stones that Joshua commanded the people to take out of the Jordan and he placed at Gilgal, we want to be like these stones. We want to be those that stand as a sign, that stand as a memorial to the God of heaven and earth, right? To the God that we serve, to the God whom we are here to worship. But there's four things in this passage in particular I want to pull out that I believe direct relately to what we're talking about as standing stones. So if we look back in the passage, we see these four. It's quite interesting. Let's start with the first one. The first one's in verse 1. "Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying..." Here's the first thing about being standing stones. The thing about being a standing stone is we are God's idea and we are God's purpose. Notice it said very clearly that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying. And Joshua's in charge at the moment. Moses has passed away. The baton has been passed to Joshua. He's now the one in charge. But God tells Joshua what to do. God said, "Joshua, you ought to take 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. You ought to send those 12 men, one for each tribe, to grab those 12 stones." It was God's idea, not Joshua's, to get the 12 stones. Not only does God tell Joshua what to do, he actually tells him what he's going to do with them and where he's going to put them. So the whole thing is God's idea. Joshua can't claim credit for it. Israel can't claim credit for it. And we see when the children ask them, "What do they mean to you?" They don't take, or they aren't meant to take credit for it. They're meant to give credit to whom? To God. Because it's his idea. It was his purpose. Getting the stones, taking them out, the number of stones, where the stones were to be placed, what the stones were for. This was all from the mind of God. All the purpose, the will, the idea of God. And that's not new. I mean, we only have to look at the New Testament, don't we, to see that God did the same thing with his church. The church is God's idea, and the church being the people of God. The whole church, all those who are redeemed by faith in Jesus Christ. Listen to this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Paul says this of us: "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him, in love he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will." So just as the stones in Joshua chapter 4 were God's idea, so was the church, so was the people of God, so is the redeemed, so are those who by faith in Jesus Christ had salvation. So are they the idea of God. So are they come about into this relationship with Jesus, come about into this body we call the church, through the kind intention of his will, Paul says. And not only that, Paul reminds us, but when did God decide this? Before the foundation of the world. This isn't God kind of backtracking and going, sin's entered the world, I better do something now. My plan's been messed up. This isn't God making an adjustment for what we started doing. God had decided from the beginning what he was going to do. Before the foundation of the world, in eternity past, God had decided he was going to call himself a people to himself. A sinful people that he would redeem through his Son. What a glorious thought, right? And so we here at Broome Baptist believe, yes, as a part of the church, the whole church, we were the idea of God. But not just that, we believe us individually as a church are also the idea, the plan, the will, the purpose of God. Broome Baptist Church may have been started by a handful of people. My understanding was from Dilley originally. But it wasn't by the thought or the intention or the design of men that this church existed. It may have been by the work of men, but that work happened because God had decided, God had intended, and God called his people to obey his command. So it came about. I mean, why were the stones set up at Gilgal? Because it was God's idea. Because Joshua did it, right? But Joshua wasn't acting on his own out-of-the-blue idea. Hey God, did you think of this? Let's do this. No, Joshua was simply doing that which God had already decided was going to happen. So we believe the same thing here. We want to be those standing stones. We want to be those who, purposed by God, fulfill that which we are here for. And thus shine brightly for him, right? We're not our own idea. We might have moved into this wonderful building. It might have been by the vote of the members that said, yes, we will go for this. Push come to shove. How did that all come about? I'll tell you where it started in terms of the short time I've been here. It started with very, very, very thoughtful prayer on behalf of your leaders. We went to God. We don't want to do things off our own intuition. We don't want to do things off the cuff. We want to do what the great ideas man has. We want to do what God of heaven and earth has thought of already. Because we're here for his purpose. Well, God's idea. The second thing we see, stand in verse 5. Verse 5 we see that each stone was to be a representative. He says, this is Joshua talking, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. And each take up a stone on his shoulder according to the numbers of the tribes of the sons of Israel. So there were 12 tribes of Israel. 12 men went in there to pick up 12 stones. They were obviously fairly big. They had to whack them on their shoulders. And the stones were representative of each of the tribes. It wasn't a stone for every member of Israel. It wasn't a stone for every member of Israel that there was going to be. It was just one representative of each tribe. Similarly, we believe that we are representative. Here at Broome Baptist, I've mentioned we are a local church. We are a part of the body, and thus we represent a bigger group of people. We represent the redeemed of Jesus Christ. We're not the it. We're a part of it. We're a part of the whole. I mean, that's what Paul talks about when he talks about there are many parts to the body, but there's only one. There are many different gifts and many different things that different parts of the body do. There's only one body. And so we're a representative of this one body. All the other brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that have been, that are, and even that will be, we represent them to the world. We are that here, particularly in Broome, the representative of the body of Christ, representative of the kingdom of God. As kingdom citizens, we represent the kingdom we belong to. And thus, not only do we represent God's people and God's kingdom, we also, to the world, represent God. We aren't God, but we are a representative. We are here, in a sense, on his behalf. We are his mouthpiece, we are his hands, we are his feet, to do his service and his will to bring about his kingdom. It's all his work, it's all his power, it's all his idea. We're his representatives. Representatives of the kingdom, representatives of the kingdom, citizens, representatives of the kingdom. That's what we want to be here at Broome Baptist, as standing stones. People who accurately represent that kingdom and that king. Third thing, verse 6. When you ask your children, or when your children ask, sorry, later saying, what do these stones mean to you? What do these stones mean to you? And twice within that chapter, God is saying, yeah, your children are going to ask you. Your children are going to ask you. Why? Because they weren't here when it happened. Right? This thing's going to last, but they're going to see it and they're going to ask. The third one's probably the most obvious meaning. The stones here in Joshua were to be a sign to the glory of God. And we want to be to the glory of God. Right? That's what we want to be about. Not ourselves, but to Him. Let's look at verse 22, 23 and 4 for a minute. So if your children ask you, what do these stones mean to you? Verse 22, then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed it, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we crossed it, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The stones were set up to be an example, to be a witness, to be a testimony to the might of God, to the power of God, to the miraculous workings of God, even to the love and the faithfulness of God to his people and to his word. They were therefore set up to be a sign to the glory of God. They were to be a reminder to his people that were then, who were then told to teach that to the generations that followed, that these will always be a reminder to the glory of who I am. And this ultimately is what standing stones is. This is the bulk of it here. I mean, we want to be that witness here, do we not? We want people to look at us, to look at what we're doing, and not go, wow, those people are great, aren't they? Wow, so-and-so is a really impressive person. Maybe there's something inside us that would like that. But the truth is, we want people to look at us and see Christ, right? We want people to look at Broome Baptist Church and see the hand of God in what he's doing here and in what he's doing through us. We want them to see God. That's who we're about, right? I mean, who have we been learning about in the Gospel of John? Who was the one that introduced Jesus at the start? Who was the voice calling out in the desert, make way for the Lord? Was it not John the Baptist? Commissioned by God, the last true Old Testament prophet? What was John's cry? What was his call? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It wasn't behold me. It wasn't, hey everybody, I've got some great news. Gather, gather, gather. I'm the man. It was behold the Lamb of God. Whenever Jesus was around, he pointed them directly to him. And when he wasn't around, he told them all about it. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That's what we need to be like, don't we? Last week we learned about the woman at the well and what she did when she received this wonderful gift of salvation. What was the first thing she did? Off she went and she told everyone about it. She didn't tell them about herself. She told them about Christ. She told them about this man that she met at the well that told me everything I ever did. Could it be the Christ? Yes, it is. Come and check him out. She was pointing them to Jesus. And that's what we want to be about. That's what we mean. As standing stones, we want to be those who point people to Jesus. Who people look at us and go, wow. This God must be real. There's something here. This kingdom looks impressive. I want to be one. It also means we need to live in a sense that John the Baptist lived in another catch cry he had. And that was in John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. He must increase, but I must decrease. I'll tell you right now, this is probably the most obvious idea of standing stones, but it's also going to be the hardest part of it. Because it takes humility, right? It means we have to kind of get rid of ourselves. It means we're actually going to live and we're deciding that we're going to live very consciously, very specifically, very practically, not for us, not fulfilling our lives and our future with what we want, but living it for God, for His glory. Saying, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Trusting in Him with our lives, with our future. Theoretically, it's super easy, right? Oh yeah, tick, tick, I believe that. But doing that practically, that's where the rubber meets the road. And we want to be that church that does that. Says, you know what, we're going to do it practically. It's going to take work. It's going to be hard. We might even stumble and fall sometimes, but that's why we gather together. That's why we connect with one another, so that we can encourage and pick each other up, perhaps even correct and rebuke each other when we need it. Because we want to together be following and living Christ, because we want to be standing stones that stand as a memorial and a sign of the glory of God. Like Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him through God the Father. That means we don't just serve God and the glory to God on Sunday morning. This is the worship service, right? The church is us, is you. The church isn't the building we're standing in. Just happens to be the place we get to have our worship service in and meet on Sunday morning. But the sign, the memorial that we are to God, doesn't just happen on Sunday, it goes all the way through the week, Monday through to Saturday and back on Sunday again. It doesn't stop, right? So we want to be there. We want people to look at us and see God in the way we live, in the way we act, in the way we speak, even in the way we think. We want to be a sign of the glory of God. The fourth thing we see is that these stones in chapter 4 were to be lasting. Verse 6 says, let this sign be among you. So it's a sign, right? And the end of verse 7, about this sign, he says, these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. They're meant to be lasting. You can go through the rest of the chapter 2 and you'll find that at least at the time of Joshua being written, those stones were still there. In fact, there's a point where John the Baptist kind of critiques the Pharisees. Says, I tell you the truth, God could raise children of Abraham out of these stones if He wanted to. Some have suggested perhaps they are the stones that Joshua laid out. But regardless, these were designed to last. The sign, what they were there, the purpose was designed to be lasting. I mean, there's a reason why God told them to take stones and not a handful of sand, right? It's not going to last. You set up the stones, come the seasons, come the weather, it's still going to be there, right? And that's what we want to be too. We want to be solid. We want to be firm. We want to be lasting in the truth. We want to be those who persevere. Those who have sown in good soil, because that tree or that plant produces fruit. Despite the circumstances, despite the situations we might find ourselves in, as individuals or a church, we want to remain faithful to God, His Word. So, we want to be standing stones. And I believe that that is going to be all the more important as the years start to roll on. I mean, we've talked about this last year, but I truly believe that this nation is going to get more and more hostile to the gospel message. And it's going to result in some heavy persecution. Perhaps a lot quicker than even I think it would. Despite that, as Broome Baptists, we want to be standing stones. We want to be firm. That whatever comes our way, we are going to say no. We stand on the word of God. And we're going to be faithful to Him. Good news about that, as scary as it might be, is that Jesus said this to Peter in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. The church will not be destroyed. God's idea cannot be destroyed. It's God's idea, it's God's plan. But we want to encourage each other. We want to stand strong and say, you know what? We can, despite what comes our way. Not because we're strong, but because firstly, God is, and nothing, there's no power in the universe that stands against Him. But secondly, God has also promised. His church will stand. Maybe Broome Baptist may not exist one day, but the church will. And as long as Broome Baptist is here, we want to be those that say, you know what, we're going to stand here for God until God calls us home or otherwise. It's up to Him, us. These are four things I believe are very important, integral to the part of us being standing stones. Second part of that is we're going to be standing stones within our multicultural community of Broome. So that's the place where we're doing that. Now that seems obvious, right? Well, we're in Broome. Those of you who are visiting, you go, well, of course you're in Broome. You've got no choice, right? But that's, the reality is that's where God's placed us. And this is where God has us. I know for Jess and myself, this is where God's called us. Certainly for this season in life, and now that I'm working at the Crop Park too, I don't think he's going to call us elsewhere. He's got issues. I'm going to say that. Therefore, what that means is Broome, the city and the place of Broome, is the primary place for us where we are going to reach out with the gospel and start our kind of service for God, start our mission for God, if you will. Right? If Broome is the first port of call for us. I mean, this particular part of talking about us being devoted to Broome is what will make ours unique to other churches, because obviously other churches around the place are in different places, thus different situations as well. Are we going to be committed to reaching our community with the gospel, to seeing Jesus transform our community? In 2011 and 2012, I was very blessed to go traveling for 16 months. And I basically went with this idea, all right, God, if I'm going to spend all this money doing this, I've got to serve you in this, because, you know, it can't just be for kicks and giggles, right? I did, and went a few places, met a lot of people, it was great fun, and did hope to serve the Lord, hope it was useful for other people or places I went. But there was one thing that stood out to me all my time around the globe. As you connect with Christians and connect with other people, quite often around the world, so how's the church going here in Australia? What's the percentage? It's quite often, what percentage of people go to church in Australia? You know, what's it like? Blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? That there is a great, great need for missionary work in this country. You know what stood out to me? Man, I left my nation to go and kind of reach the world for God's message, when all the time, the greatest need was probably in my own backyard. Right? I mean, we live in a supposedly Christian nation. I mean, let's be honest now, we've ditched just about every part of Christianity we can as a nation now. Any other little remnants of it are very, very quickly being attacked. We're not a Christian nation anymore. So we have a great need as a nation, and thus, we have a great need here in Broome. It's a wonderful place, but it's in desperate need of Christ. There's wonderful people around here, but they are in desperate need of salvation. And so this is where we have been placed. This is our mission field right here. God has put us here for a purpose. Again, I took back to last week. The harvest is white. It's ready. So this is our harvest field, if you will. This is where God's called us to go and reap. The beauty of that is there will be a reaping. There will be some who will come to know Him. Not all. There will be some. We want to be that light. We want to be the witness for the gospel, for Jesus Christ, here in Broome. Broome is the first point of call, the priority for our proclamation and our signifying, glorifying, our pointing to Him. But Broome is not the only place we do that. And that gets us to the third part of this vision. We want to be standing stones in the multicultural community of Broome and beyond. Now I know most of you are thinking Buzz Lightyear right now. That's cool. But the reality is, beyond is very general because it encompasses everything else that's outside of Broome. Right? We are not just called to witness to Broome. It might be our first and foremost call, might be our priority, but Jesus is very clear in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 19, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. We're not called to make disciples just of Broome. We're called to make disciples of all nations. And so that's what this bit encompasses too. You might think, well, that's a bit far-fetched. We're a very small church. Really, despite what we now have, we're quite, I guess, restricted in our facilities to reach the world. But firstly, let me just say, we're actually commanded to do that. But there shouldn't be an excuse to not see that as important. But secondly, I don't think it's so far-fetched. I mean, we didn't have it today because we don't have the screen, but we support 5 sponsored children. There's only 4 up on the screen, but there's actually 5 sponsored children this church supports from 4 different countries. We also support Thailand mission trip. And the work that happens in Thailand, which is a country that none of the children we support are from. But we have people from around the world that come to our church each and every year, particularly this lovely time of year. And not only that, we have a transient culture here in Broome that can be seen as a negative. But I see as a positive that we get people that come from maybe 6 months to 3 or 4 years on contracts, working in different places. That means we get them for X amount of time that we can invest in them, that we can input into them, that we can help them grow in their relationship with Christ. And yeah, it's sad that they leave. Some of them nasty. It's sad that they leave. But the reality is they leave and they go elsewhere to a place that we might not be able to get to or reach in our ministry. But we've invested in them and they can go and continue to work for God where they go. And we can look at it as a sense that we are actually sending people out around the globe by inputting into them and helping them continue further His work. We may not be able to reach the world with some huge mission work that we may not have the means to do that at this stage, or ever. But we do have people. We do have people we can invest in that will come and go out into the world. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Right? To be standing stones in the multicultural community of Broome and beyond. That's our vision. That's what we want to be. What we want to be about. By the way, we might say, well, I think we've reached that. No, I think we have to a degree, but we can always do it better. And that's the point, isn't it? We want to grow in that. We want to be better at that. And there's more of the world to reach. And by the way, there's a lot more of Broome to reach as well. So we've still got work to do. Let's look at the mission statement quickly. Is that clock right?
Yeah.
5 to 11? Yeah, okay. Let me speed up. Growing people in their relationship with Jesus Christ. This is our mission statement. So if the vision is what we want to be, if that's where we're getting to, this is how we get there. All right? We saw Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. We're not just to go and make converts. We're not just to go and give them the gospel and get a yes, I believe, and we're done. We're to make disciples. And growing people in their relationship with Jesus Christ is simply another, probably elongated way of saying, we're going to make disciples. We're going to make followers of Christ. Now, that's twofold. Firstly, that is introducing and bringing people into that relationship, right? It's helping people transition from death to life. Now, that's all God's work. We know that. He does the work of the heart, but He does use His people to do that, to bring His message, to lead people to Christ. We need those signposts. That's what we want to be, right? Standing stones. So we want to step people into that relationship. But the other side of that is stepping people along in that relationship. So for most of you here, you've been Christians for some time, right? We don't need to call you into the kingdom. Our job, therefore, is to grow you into that relationship, step you further along in your relationship with Christ, grow you closer, deeper in Him, so you're becoming more like Him. That's what we're aiming to, that's what we want to be about, right? That's where our values will come in next week, and again, we'll look at that when we get there. Disciples denotes a continual action, by the way. Disciples are followers, not someone who followed, they are followers. So it's a continual action. Therefore, disciples are continually following, continually learning, continually growing. And so we're aiming to be a part and facilitate that, growing people in their relationship with Jesus Christ. By the way, there's no such thing as a stagnant Christian. You're either going one way or the other. You're growing to Christ or you're moving away from Christ. So we don't want you to be going in the wrong direction. Henceforth, we're going to encourage, support, correct at times, because we want you growing in your relationship with Christ. We're not going to be perfect at that. Let me just say that straight off the bat. The reason for that is, I mean, you've got me as a pastor for starters, but one of the issues with churches is that they're full of people, right? I've heard someone say once that they were going to go to, when they finished Bible college, they were going to go start their own church, make the perfect church. And I laughed because I once heard a pastor say, well, if you ever found a perfect church, don't go there because you'll ruin it. There's no perfect people. But the difference here is we're going to try. Not in our own strength, not in our own might. The idea is we want to be growing people in Christ because we want to be pointing to Him. We want to be focused on Him. We want Him working in us and growing us in Him. It's not because of me. It's not because of your leadership team. We believe wholeheartedly that we are just servants of the living God. It's going to be His work. And that's what we come here to do. To come and guide and pray and say, all right, this is what we believe God is calling us to do and be about. At the moment, we're doing that through our Sunday worship services, through Bible study groups, through fellowship groups and gatherings, through prayer meetings, and some individual discipleship that is taking place here. But we're going to grow. Now we have a facility where we can actually do a lot more in growing people in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And that excites me. One of those things is finding out what your gifting is, by the way. We're all gifted with different spiritual gifts for the glory of God and the edification of the church. I'm looking forward to finding out what your gifts are. You see you use them and worship Him and glorify Him here in this place. Well, I do believe that we will grow numerically, but I believe that church growth is the same, or proper church growth, useful church growth, real church growth, is the same as all biblical growth. And it starts from the inside out. Which means if this place is going to grow as a church, it's going to start in the hearts that are sitting before me, right? Then it's going to grow numerically. One of the, I think, wrong concepts of the church nowadays is it's the church's job bring people into church so they can hear the gospel and be saved. It's actually not what the Sunday worship service is about. The Sunday worship service is about the people of God coming to worship God. It's Monday to Saturday that the church is meant to bring people into salvation or bring their message to them. Yes, it should come out the pulpit as well. But it's Monday to Saturday when the church goes out and lives their lives in the community in the place they live in. That's where the witnessing happens. This is where the growing happens. Should do. So we want to be about that. Stepping people further along. We want to see spiritual growth. And spiritual growth is people growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ. So, that's our vision and that's our mission statement. And as I said, we will look at our values more intently next week. Let me leave it there. You can see the clock is staring at me, staring me down. I'm going to pray, and then I'll hand back to Trish.